Runner goes. The pitch to Kike Hernandez popped in the air to right field. Not deep. In comes Marte. He makes the catch. Put it in the books. The Mets are California bound again, where they'll hope to bring back a pennant as they stay in the National League Championship Series, cutting the Dodgers' advantage to 3-2. And if they can get back here to Citi Field, it'll be for the World Series. But there's a lot of work to do before that. They've got to start a big comeback somewhere. The Mets did it today with a flourish.
Hate to say it, but it reminds me when we were playing you guys, and Kevin Millar was mic'd during batting practice. And mm-hmm. He was going around saying, don't let us win this game. Because if we win this game, we got Pedro in game 5. We got Schilling in game 6. And who knows what's going to happen in game 7.
Don't let us win one.
That's why when you have a chance to finish the deal, you finish the deal. Now, obviously, the Mets outslugged the Dodgers. They deserve to win this game. Mm-hmm. But you need to win when you have that chance.
Right. This is really special. And I'm just happy to do it with – I mean, this group is, I can't say it enough. This group is so special. Like, we've faced adversity. We've bounced back time and time again over the course of the year. Even if you look at even the wild card, this group has been so resilient. I mean, it's a lot of the things are, you look at the path of everything, it's completely unexplainable, but we're all just happy that to have another opportunity to fight another day, and we'll be ready. We love opportunities. This is what we want to continue to play for. Like, today was all about figure it out, get to game 6, and we have that opportunity, and it's going to be the same mentality. Figure it out, get to 7. Like, that's what it is. Survive the day, and we did, and we're really, really excited for the opportunity coming up.
How would you describe your level of confidence going back to California?
Feel good. Big game tomorrow, obviously, or Sunday, whenever it is. Obviously a must win. So, boys are going to come to play and, try to force game 7.
You've done well in the winner go home games. You now have something against going home.
Yeah, we don't want to go home. We want to get back to Citi Field and win a World Series.
Going back to LA, I mean, the Diamondbacks just did it last year, winning 2 on the road mm-hmm. to go to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible, and I think if any team can do it, we can. I mentioned last night, we've played with our backs against the wall the whole year, and we've been able to rise to the occasion. I mean, some might even say we're at our best at that time. So, if anybody can do it, we can do it, and we're just looking to Sunday to go 1-0 and keep this thing going.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Saturday, October the 19th, 2024. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com, NoG, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG, and don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks from the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. Welcome to this Saturday morning reaction edition to the Talking Mets podcast. Game 5, Mets 12, Dodgers 6. A little softball being played out at Citi Field. But if that was the finale of the 2024 Citi Field season, it went out with a bang. And I'll start here. I'll break down the good, the bad, and the ugly here in a minute. But as baseball fans, we have memorable seasons. And everybody in the audience obviously is going to remember if you're around 69 and 86, and to a certain degree, 73. I know that didn't end well, but 73. But in the seasons where there weren't pennants, there are teams that capture you. And you'll always remember. 2015, I think, pennant-winning team, but didn't get the job done. I think everybody remembers that team. And even though 06 maybe has been part of the negative energy that's been manifesting in this group or this organization for a while, that's a memorable season. And we talked about on the Twitter spaces, one of my favorite Mets teams that didn't win a pennant, the 99 Club. In a lot of ways, the 99 Club is more special than the pennant-winning 2000 Club that lost to the Yankees. So there's all these different seasons and reasons that, you know, 2022, maybe some of you have some special affinity, even though that ended poorly. The 2024 Mets, I think yesterday, and I don't know how I would have come here today and talked to you if they had spit the bit, and it looked really bad in the first inning. I mean, Marte drops a fly ball, the Dodgers have a couple of runners on, nobody out, bases loaded, and you're like, oh, geez, this is a problem. This is not going to go well. And Mets get out of it, and within 15 minutes, they're ahead, and the total energy has shifted. But I was watching, or reading, really, reactions to those who might have been at the ballpark yesterday, and the joy and the fun and the experience. And I know that I saw some Yankees fans across X talking about how corny the Mets are and the whole Temptations thing, which Andy Martino thinks the Temptations and their live performance played into the environment and maybe was a bit of a supporting cast. If that's the case, great. Interesting take from one of the guys that has been around this club and has been clued in on this club for a long time. But I think the 2024 Mets, I don't know what's going to happen in L.A. I believe that they're going to go out to L.A. like a business trip and make it as hard for the Dodgers to get that final game as possible. They're going to make it as hard as possible. But I think the 2024 Mets yesterday cemented themselves in the hearts and minds of the Mets fan base, where this group will be remembered in some way 10, 15, 20 years from now. There are going to be people that talk about this group like I talk about the 99 Mets. When I see Robin Ventura, when I see Piazza, when I see Timo Perez's name came up. Well, actually, Timo was 2000. When I see, when I think of Benny Agbayani, Rick Reed, Al Leiter, when I think of the Subway Series games earlier in the year when Matt Franco does the walk-off. Yeah, a game I was at when Mike Piazza hit a game winner over Trevor Hoffman, how they were the most dominant team in the league from pretty much the beginning of June until September when they had a little bit of a dip and a dive. How I remember the Cincinnati playing game, the Arizona series, how they almost came back all the way from 3-0. You know, a lot harder what they tried to do against Atlanta than what they're trying to do against the Dodgers. That crazy Game 6, which to this day I think they should have won. And not, they didn't just blow one, but they blew a couple of saves in extra innings. I think this team has gone into that pantheon. And because, and I've said it, where this organization has been and where they were just 12 months ago, this innocent climb and how they're doing this whole run, I think is more important in the context of Mets history, because this is truly a foundation building season. And a foundation building season that may result in a championship, because the Mets are putting it out there. You heard the quotes on the way in. They're not saying, hey, it's been a nice season, let's see what we can do. They still believe that they could win this series. And that goes a long way into them actually winning the series. Now, let's talk cold, hard facts. I know the Dodgers are a better team. They've been doing this a lot longer. They've got more elite core hitters. Their bullpen arms are better. Their starters might not be better, but don't sleep on their starters. I know Flaherty was bad yesterday, and I told you guys, I didn't think Flaherty, he pitched well, I thought, in game one. I know that there's been some debate on the spaces about how well. The Mets had him on the hook a couple of times and couldn't get it going. Marte almost hit a ball that I thought was going to go out that died out there. But don't sleep on the Dodgers starters. They may not be vintage Walker Buehler, and Flaherty like he was yesterday could be bad, and Yamamoto doesn't have experience, but they all have nasty stuff, and they could flip an off-speed pitch that'll get him out of a jam at a moment's notice. But the fact remains this. This series will be decided by bullpens. The Dodgers have a tremendous advantage right now in that. Make no mistake about it. The Mets have walked the ballpark. There is nothing about yesterday's performance on the pitching side. The Mets survived that game. Make no mistake about it. They won it. They survived it. They made some big plays. They got tack on runs and give Ryan Stanek. I know Diaz got the two outs, the two innings, but give Ryan Stanek a ton of credit. He came in there and did what most Mets pitchers have not done the entire series. He gave them some length out of the bullpen, and he threw strikes. Yeah, he gave up a home run to Mookie Betts. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. But he threw strikes, and there wasn't two runners on because of walks that he was dancing around the strike zone when Betts hit that home run. Now you're off to L.A. Why should I believe, if you're a Mets fan, why should I believe that, why should you believe that they could come away with a couple of wins in L.A., which would mean they'd have to win three out of their four games in this series on the road? Well, one, I think this team plays well enough on the road, and I think being away from Citi Field and the expectations and the pressure, to a certain degree, that might have played into, and we've talked about this, into some of the struggles in the first couple of home games. I mean, Severino was dominant in the first inning, and then he lost it. Was he trying too hard? Quintana, I think, was pretty much a bad matchup, but it was what it was at that time. And then you saw what happened yesterday. So they're on the road. They're in a pretty hostile environment. I've told you LA, a lot of players have said, is a great home field advantage. The fans are nasty. They're going to be ready to have a big celebration. They want Rob Lowe in the scrum again with all the other phony celebrities that root for the Dodgers. But the Mets now have, I think, a lineup that they've McNeil getting acclimated to the postseason after being out. I think Carlos Mendoza finally realizes that Father Time has put J.D. Martinez into another kind of realm in terms of his ability to produce. I think we've seen the final days of J.D. Martinez. Tough lefty. You want to give him a shot? Not a problem with that. Anything else, it's got to be Jesse Winker unless he's not healthy. Jesse Winker gives you the grit, the energy, the desire, the live bat. All the things that drove you crazy about Winker as a Mets opponent, you now can channel and use to your advantage. And if the Mets are going to win this series, they're not going to win these games 2-1, 1-0. They're not going to be able to do what they did against the Phillies and the Brewers, where their lineup needs to go through the starting pitching and figure itself out a couple of times around and hope that their starters keep it to a scoreless or one-run game. What you saw the Mets do to Zach Wheeler, where Zach Wheeler was dominant, but the Phillies' offense was held to a run so that they could figure out a way to come back. I don't think you could do that against the Dodgers. I know you can't do it against the Dodgers. I've seen the Dodgers now five games. They're the best team the Mets have faced this year. They're the best team in the league. They're a team that maybe doesn't get the same respect that they normally would because they've had some postseason failures. And let's face it, they may not have won 110 games or 111, whatever they won a couple of years ago. But when you start to really look at the roster, they were figuring some things out on the pitching side, and they didn't get a lot out of Betts all summer because of an injury. Yamamoto had his downtime. Obviously, there was injuries to the pitching. I think they anticipated maybe Kershaw being some part of this thing. So while they were trying to figure things out, there's a cost to that. And maybe instead of winning high 90s in terms of games, a complete Dodger team where things broke right, they would have won 105, 106, 107, 108 games. Same kind of win total of the 86 Mets that nobody said nobody was really accepting that team losing. For the Dodgers, this was a down year in terms of wins. And as a Mets fan, you would have taken 98 wins and would have been an historic season so far. So the Mets are facing a really tough team, but they're figuring out, and that's the thing about a long series. They're figuring out now how to win this thing. See, the five-game series, just when you're starting to get into it, it's over. That's how it felt against the Phillies. The seven-game series, that's a different ballgame. It's the National League Championship Series, and the Mets are playing the Dodgers. Why not have some fun while you're watching the game? With Underdog, take a swing at Pick'em this baseball season on Underdog. Over 1 million fans across 33 states got in the game last year by making picks on Underdog. Went up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on your favorite player stats, like strikeouts, total bases, and home runs. Look, you're a Mets fan. Take the higher on Pete Alonso and the home run. Take the higher on Kodai Senga and the strikeouts. Why not? If you're a Dodgers fan or you want to make a little money and you like Shohei Ohtani, take the higher on how many home runs the Mets pitcher that day is going to give up. The possibilities are endless. Underdog is super easy to play, and it's even easier to get started. Go to their easy-to-use mobile app or to underdogfantasy.com. Sign up a promo code TALKING, T-A-L-K-I-N-G, and Underdog will give you a mystery special pick to use on your first pick'em entry, plus a first-time deposit offer up to $1,000 in bonus cash. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code TALKING, T-A-L-K-I-N-G, to claim your new customer special of a mystery player pick and your deposit offer. Must be 18 or older. 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 or older in Colorado for some games, 21 and older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. I'm playing Underdog Fantasy this National League Championship Series playoff season. Why don't you? So now everybody's settled in. There's really no secrets here. You know what the Dodgers are going to do. Maybe you haven't seen all their high-leverage relievers a lot, like Kopech. He's been really good, Roberts, of saying, okay. And how many times, sidebar note, in this series, both teams have really just punted on games. Mets punted, rightfully so, with McGill and Danny Young. And yesterday, I thought he should have gotten Flaherty out pretty quick. It was clear to me after the first inning he didn't have much, similar to Kodai Senga. But Roberts said, you know what, I got a 3-1 lead. Let's see if he figures it out. Let's see what our offense can do. And it almost worked. And he just punted on the game. He did not want to use any of his high-leverage relievers because he knew he didn't have the ability, even with a day off, to go back and manage a bullpen game if he went all out in game five. And that's why even after the Mets lost and went down 3-1, I said, if they could get game five, this is every bit the same series that we thought it would be before. Now, ideally, I thought the best chance for the Mets to win this series was to go back to LA up 3-2. That's not reality. They're down 3-2, and now they got to win two games on the road. But with the way the offense looked yesterday, with the McNeil-Winker additions to the offense, lengthening the lineup, where now your weakest hitter is the Taylor-Alvarez part. And if Alvarez is channeling something, if the support he got from his teammates and Marte, he talked about it, has awoken something in him. And the fact that he went the other way yesterday, I mean, it brought a smile to my face. That's what he needs to do. He starts taking those pitches the other way as a hitter, he's going to change the way they throw to him. And we all have to remember, myself included, who has been a little hard on him, I was talking about putting Luis Torrens in there just to send a message because he was so bad and he was so responsible for the early game struggles on the offense in game three. If he's could figure something out, wow, that really lengthens the Mets lineup. And that's important because, yes, they have Sean Manaea going. That's their ace. And this is why Sean Manaea is dangerous if you're the Dodgers. Remember something. Sean Manaea is pitching for a big contract. He is signed for next year if he wants to opt in. He's not going to. But think about Sean Manaea going onto the market, coming off of a dominant performance or a very good performance that takes the Mets into the sixth inning on Sunday night in a game six in the NLCS, and how he'll be viewed on the open market versus a Sean Manaea that fizzles out and gets knocked out in the second inning. It's a big start. And when you have a career changing when it comes to your life, your money, you'd be surprised what a ball player can channel. So I feel really good about Manaea. But the Mets bullpen, I don't feel good about. I still don't feel good about it. I think they're going to have to ride Diaz and Stanek because Stanek is hot. I don't know how many outs that they could realistically expect to get from the bullpen clean. They're probably going to have a cushion. I don't think they could win a one-run game unless it's the ninth inning and you got to get three outs, and even then that's going to be tough. They're going to have to play a little bit of slow-pitch softball because if you look at the games the Mets have won, they have jumped out early. I mean, so have the Dodgers. But not only have they jumped out early, they've jumped out with multiple runs, and they've been able to hold off the Dodgers. And I always use that NBA terminology when we talk about baseball, but it's this. But the way the Mets got to do this thing is like how you win a game on the road in the NBA. Get up big, get the guys, I mean, I'm talking big. Like, if a 20-point lead in the NBA early, which is not a lot anymore in the three-point era, but if a 20-point lead in the NBA, what's the equivalent in baseball? 3-4 runs early. Because against the Dodgers, 3-4 runs, not a lot. I mean, how many, if the Mets were down 10-2 yesterday, or even 10-6, you would be ready to make your winter plans. You would not think the Mets, even if they were hitting like the Dodgers are hitting, were going to come back. With the Dodgers, it felt like a one-run lead. To the point where they, I mean, in a normal situation, you probably take Diaz out when it's 12-6. He got through Ohtani in the eighth inning. But no, not because you can't trust it, because you know that this bullpen is capable of walking a couple of guys and then a blast, and now it's 12-9, and now you got a problem. So the Mets are going to have to win slow pitch softball, maybe even more so in Game 7 than in Game 6. And that's the blueprint. So the blueprint that has gotten them to where they're at, it's not going to work against the Dodgers. They're not going to really realistically going to get their starters in the seventh inning. They grind the at-bats too much. Now, maybe Manaea throws strikes, even to Muncy, who for some reason is the ball is allergic to the strike zone when he's up there. And he does the exact opposite and builds the platform that the Mets have been successful on all year. But through five games, I haven't seen it, and I don't expect to see it. And I didn't. And there's nothing about right now the process in Game 5 that makes you believe that the Mets have a great shot in L.A. I mean, let's be cold, hard facts. If you do cold, hard facts, this is still a long shot. The Mets had a 20% chance going into Game 5 of winning the series. The 80% of the teams up 3-1 advance. There's been some examples. L.A. was one that came back. So it's not easy. I mean, Boston came back against the Indians in what was it, 07? So it can happen. But usually you do it getting back home. The Mets are doing this on the road. NBA teams have done it. Hockey teams have done it. NHL teams have done it. It can happen. Baseball is a little bit tougher. But the one thing about this series that I think everybody could agree on, yesterday doesn't really matter. I mean, the Mets wiped away a couple of horrible days. And look, one big hit in the first inning and make it 2-3-0 Dodgers off of Peterson. Maybe that changes the dynamic. That was why what Peterson pitched poorly yesterday, but what he did in the first with a little bit of luck with BABIP and a brain fart by Ohtani, who maybe is a little bit too giddy right now on the big stage, like focus more on his goofy dances, because an elite player scores in the first inning on that hard ground ball. Because there's no way Lindor takes the chance to throw him out, even if he has a shot, because that would spiral into a big inning if he didn't make the play. That was big, because that settled the game down, because that ballpark was on edge pregame, according to reports. And it didn't feel any better if you're there when you saw Marte drop the fly ball. And you're like, here we go. And all the Dodgers had to do was get up early, and they were ready to put the hurting on and celebrate. They were going to play fast and loose, but once they got down, as I suspected, they punted. But now there's no more punting, because if you're Dave Roberts, you're having this bullpen game, and it is pretty ironic that a team with the amount of money that's been spent, the biggest payroll in the sport, all the love about how smart they are, cannot muster up a starter to give them four innings like Peterson did in a Game 6 in the playoffs. It's a huge indictment on the sport. It's probably the soft underbelly of analytics. It has a lot to do with injuries, too. I don't know if that has to do with how they, with the kind of pitches that they focus on, because they're focusing on a lot of spin and sliders and knuckle curves or whatever, sweepers, whatever they call them. Maybe that's causing some of the arm injuries. But it's amazing. Because the one thing about the Mets, maybe that you don't like all their starters. Maybe Quintana wasn't the right matchup for this Dodgers team, but they could give you a starter that on any given day has proven over a long sample size, they could give you five innings, six innings, even against this Dodgers lineup, if they're on. So now there's no more punting, because if Roberts goes to a Game 7, in the back of his head, he still feels good. He's at Dodger Stadium. I'm assuming Walker Buehler will get the start. Walker Buehler has a resume. Maybe something was unearthed that's been missing since his Tommy John return in that game three that he can use. He'll have the crowd going on his side. Maybe he can't go long, but look, you go two times around the lineup, get them to the fifth, sixth inning. They've got arms. They've got Kopech. They've got Trinan. They've got Daniel Hudson. Even the guys like Honeywell Jr., he was one of their better relievers. I mean, I know he got it pasted, but he's one of their better relievers. And he did yeoman's work yesterday by going out there and burning some innings so that they didn't have to use anybody other than Banda, I think. And it's amazing. When Banda comes in, I'm just like, damn, how'd the Mets miss on that guy? They could have used a guy like that. Ugh. They had him, and other teams were in the same boat there, too. So why do you think the Mets could win in L.A.? And I don't want to get into magic. We'll wrap up on that note. But the lineup is lengthier. Bullpens are fickle. I know you got Michael Kopech. Everyone's talking about Kopech. And Trinan, I think, is their actual the reliever that scares me the most because he's had the best resume. And he's had some elite bullpen seasons in his career. But a guy like Kopech, he was in Chicago, and I know what the losing environment creates some of this, had an ERA of a 4. This is a guy that has not been dominant, has always had good stuff and can strike people out, but walks batters, and that could work to the Mets' advantage. You look up and down their relievers, and forget about the early guys, because you're going to have to use some of the lower leverage early guys and get to them, which they did in Game 2. Everybody coming out of that bullpen is hittable. Everyone in that bullpen could walk someone and give up a blast, which the Mets are capable of. And as much as the Mets and the Mets fans fear the Dodger lineup top to bottom, the Mets lineup, which is not as good, is no slouch, especially when you have Winker and Alvarez and McNeil on. I mean, McNeil hit the ball really well yesterday. I thought he had a home run. Even he thought he had a home run late and on that sacrifice fly, and it just died out there. But that's Citi Field. So right now, the Mets going to L.A. feel good about themselves, and they're putting out into the universe, and I talked about this yesterday, hey, we haven't changed our goal. And it's always been their goal, I think, since they got into the tournament. But now they've been talking about it. There is no flinch. I don't think it's just rationalization or talk on post-game or pre-games. This team believes, and that is a dangerous thing. And if you're the Dodgers, and if I was doing talking Dodgers, I'd say, guys, I know it's a bullpen game, but you cannot leave this team hanging around. In a lot of ways, I know it's hard to sweep a team three straight games in the playoffs, but because of how they were manhandled the Mets, if I were the Dodgers, I'd be like, let's finish this thing off. Let's not wake them up. Because a woken up Mets team to date against the Phillies, against the Brewers, against the Braves, a team that was dead in the water around Memorial Day, has shown that if you let them hang around, they're going to do something crazy. And it looks like the Yankees are one win away from doing their part in a Subway Series. And whoever gets through this series, I think, will be better for it. I hear everybody say how bad of a series is. Sure, from a standpoint of baseball and postseason baseball, it's ugly. I mean, this is a series that the games have been played that you would have thought it was the middle of May. And they were on the last leg of a road trip, and their pitching is burnt to a crisp because it's been overused for the last 2 weeks. But both teams are facing, you know, the Dodgers are facing a highly motivated, well-run Mets team with some stars, with something to prove. And the Mets are facing a great offense, one of the best offenses I've seen in a long time, a team that averaged over 5 runs a game, a team that walks more than anybody in the league, against a pitching staff that walks more people than anybody in the league. So, forgive me for saying it, it's competitive. It just is not aesthetically pleasing. So whoever gets through this series, and I think if the Dodgers win, they're going to win a World Series. That's how good I think they are. And I'm not saying the Yankees in Cleveland don't have merit to who they are. And the Yankees are going through their own little gauntlet right now and maybe coming out better on the other side. You always grow from that. There's a certain amount of that 2019, 2017 Yankee feel from this team that I know those teams didn't make it in the end, but they had some big wins and came pretty damn close. And they've got a couple of great hitters of their own like the Dodgers, so they're no slouches. But whoever wins this series has gone through hell and a baptism and is going to be a hell of a lot better in the next series because of it. In a lot of ways, you might see them actually grow from it or have a sigh of relief for a little bit until they get into that. But the Dodgers offense scares me. But I've seen the Mets score against the Dodgers. And really, in games 3 and 4, if they had had one of those break-open hits like Alonso had early in the ballgame, those games might be different. Because I take the garbage time runs, because the garbage time runs don't happen if the Mets score a few runs and that's a 6-4 game going into the 6th or 7th inning. Or a 7-5 game, or whatever it is. So the blueprint's changed. You got your ace in Manaea. Maybe you'll be able to pull off a variation of get to the bridge and then get to Diaz. But the Dodgers' offense isn't going to allow that. So if you're the Mets, you know they're going to score 5 runs. By hook or by crook, whether it be early, mid, late, they're going to score 5 runs. You're not holding them to below 5 runs. I know you did in game 2, but you had to get a big double play to really do that early in the game. In the middle innings, I should say. So you know they're going to score 5 runs. You got to score 5 runs at least. You probably got to score 7 or 8, which means you got to work those relievers. You got to get your walks. You can't chase. And when you have a chance, when you have bases loaded and one out, you're going to have to capitalize. You cannot leave runners on. They could have probably scored 15 or 16 runs yesterday with some additional execution, particularly with runners in third and less than 2 outs. It's a quibble. The Dodgers still are a good team. They're going to get out of some of those jams, just like the Mets got out of some of the jams. So you're going to have to score those runs. And if you score those runs, then you got to figure out, you know, Diaz is getting 3 outs. You got to figure out probably about 9 outs. And you're going to have to hold your breath on a lot of them. Can Stanek do again what he did Friday? Like Mendoza said, it wasn't so much the pitches, it was the up and down. I don't know. I think you'll definitely see him. I don't think anyone's going to get time off. You're going to try to ride this hot streak with Stanek, who has a resume. Do you trust Maton anymore? Probably not. He's been bad all postseason. Reed Garrett, he gives you what he can give you, but small doses. The more that the Dodgers see him, the more that they punish him on his mistakes. Reed Garrett is he's not a bad reliever, but I don't think he's a high leverage reliever. I've never felt that way. I've told you that all summer. Peterson, been exposed this series, hasn't pitched as well. Probably somebody that you'll have to go to in game 7 to get the middle innings. I mean, where do you go to get those outs? Senga? It's really going to be interesting how Mendoza plays this. And I usually have an answer for you, but right now I don't. I really don't. I don't know what they're going to do, because these games, when you play softball-type games, you may have to deploy these resources before the 5th inning. Maybe Manaea gets you into the 7th like they've done so far in the second half. And then you could line it up a little bit better with Stanek and Diaz. Because I think ultimately the goal is, can Manaea give you 6, go to Stanek for as long as he can give you, and then go to Diaz. And maybe in between you have to get an out or two with a Maton or a Garrett or something like that. You know, I don't know, because I'm assuming Severino is going to be held for game 7. I don't think he's an option. And the thing about Senga, and I was interested because not that it would have changed, I think, a lot about game 6, but I thought maybe as they got up big, I'm like, well, maybe now they could plan Senga and save some bullpen for 6. But the game got too close, and it was a big hesitation with them using Senga. So I'm curious where Senga plays into this. Is Senga an option for, hey, let's start him on 7, bring in Severino, and do something like that? Because right now, you just got to find a way to get outs. It's a counting game against the Dodgers. And they're going to find a way to score 5 runs. You know that. But I'm not so sure that they could hold the Mets down like they did in 3 and 4. The Mets didn't execute in 3 and 4. The Mets could have easily scored 5 or 6 runs. Again, I don't think they lost those games. I don't think they were going to win those games. Regardless, their pitching was that bad. they walk too many guys, and I don't know if that's going to change. But those games would have been a lot closer with a couple of executed situations with runners on base, which they did yesterday. So now, you know the Mets could beat the Dodgers. It's not going to be easy. You know they could beat them. It's going to be back and forth, and it's going to be stressful, and it's probably going to take 10, 15, 20 years off your life as a baseball fan. And there's going to be a high of highs or there's going to be a low of lows in the next 48 to 72 hours. That's just reality. So rest up tonight. Rest up. Get away from baseball. Because 8 o'clock Sunday night, it starts for a 24 to 48 hour period. It starts. It's going to be a lot of drama, a lot of highs, and maybe lows. But buckle up. 25 years ago, I saw a similar Mets team capture the city, have a similar in between the season run after a slow start, and have to fight to get into the postseason. I mean, a 97 win Met team had to go to a play-in game to make the postseason. They were not set up well for the Arizona series, a team that won 100 games, that had a future Hall of Famer anchoring their staff, a really good manager, and some really good hitters up and down the lineup. And I saw them beat that team. Beat them by hitting a home run off of a Gold Glove center fielder's head in a game four, so they didn't have to face Randy Johnson in game five. And then after that wild couple of weeks where they fought tooth and nail against the Pirates and the Reds and the D-backs, they turn it around and they have to go out and they have to face the Braves with these elite starters, these Hall of Fame starters like Glavine and Smoltz and Maddux. And they weren't, it was almost like similar to the Mets in 86 after the Houston series. They needed some time to recalibrate, and a postseason series doesn't give that to you. So the Mets get down 2-0, they come home to Shea Stadium, they can't get a run. I think Glavine pitched that game. I'm pretty sure Glavine pitched that game three. I was in the building for that game. They got Rocker mowing people down. And all that team did at that point, because you were like, this can't be how this season ends. This team was too much fun. This team was too good. And they get a scrape a win in game four. And then they win a wild game five with a grand slam single. And look, all logic was out the window at that point. They go down to Atlanta. Al Leiter gets the doors blown off of him. They're down 5-0 in the first. And you're like, okay, nice run, but they just don't have anything left. They didn't have enough pitching left. They really didn't have enough pitching to get through 6-7. But then the offense came back and the magic came back. And if not for Johnny Franco and Benitez, who had an excellent year, and John Franco, who is one of the better left-handed closers all time, not getting their job done, there would have been a Game 7, and who knows how Mets history would have been rewritten. Maybe they would have had a Subway Series a year earlier. Maybe we would have back-to-back Subway Series. Who knows? And maybe the Mets have a championship. So I almost feel like this group, and I know there's like numerology people are using with different things, and you know, you have the corniness of the grimace and the pumpkin and all that stuff we've talked about time and time again. But in a way, as a Mets fan, if you've been watching the team and you were around for that run in 99, you almost feel like this is your chance to right a wrong. This is your chance to get the game seven that you couldn't get to in 99 and see where you could go. And make no mistake about it, this Dodger team is as good as that Braves team. Maybe that Braves team is a little bit better, but this Dodger team is every bit as good. What the Mets are faced with, and we talked about this on the Spaces last night, there's a lot of similarities between this team and the 99 team. 99 team has a better bullpen, but maybe not better starting pitching. And I think the 99 team had a much better offense, but there's components of this Mets team that resemble that team. And I think they can do it. But I do know one thing. They have given you a ride and a story. And I know you get to a point in this town where it's winning in misery. And I've talked about this as the disciple of the Pat Riley Knicks. There's winning in misery. And there will be misery if they don't get this done. Whether it be tomorrow, this series, next series in the World Series, it'll be misery. We'll feel awful for a bit. But I think no matter what happens, this season will be remembered. And then the real fun part of it, win or lose, they've now have an opportunity, the third time in 20 years, to leverage a good season that may not end in the ultimate goal, we'll see, and make it into something of a special run. They haven't had that run since the 80s. It got short-circuited after 2000. It never came to fruition after 06 for a variety of reasons that aren't necessary to talk about now. And we all know, most of you listening to this are probably old enough to know why 2015 fizzled out. Now they have a chance to do, to right or wrong, to do what they couldn't do, maybe with a championship under their belt. And that's an exciting thought. But there's also the thought that, hey, look at the Dodgers and how good they've been over the last 15 years. And they're still trying to find that legitimate full season championship. That's part of that chip on their shoulder. So, buckle up. It's logic versus history. It's logic versus magic. It's logic versus heart. Because we all know that the Mets are not set up for success here. There's no indication that they can stop walking the ballpark. They've walked the ballpark all year. They walked the ballpark against far lesser teams than the Dodgers. The Dodgers have this all-time talent leading off, who's due for a little bit of a slump. He's been way too good. And you saw them pitch to him a little bit tougher on Friday. Their first baseman's hobbled. Mookie Betts is still the I got to tell you, Ohtani overshadows Betts, but Betts is a good hitter. And they got a lot of mustard on that hot dog in that on that team. I can see why San Diego hates them. I am annoyed by them. They annoy me. They're good. Look, I'm not. I get it. Like all the theatrics that goes on around the league. But man, the Dodgers—they tweak you. They grind you. Like, oh, they just their whole persona: Muncy and Hernandez and Paez and Ohtani's goofiness and Betts like this jumping bean with the way he goes around a base. I get it. And then you got Freddie Freeman who has that smirk all the time. And you've seen that movie for years. So there's always every reason to hate them. But they're the Mets' muse. The Mets want to be them. The Mets want to be them in 5 years. They want to be them in 6 or 7 years where they've had all this success and the team coming in, the upstart says, I want to beat them. I want to be them. So this is part of that innocent climb. This is part of that learning. Can you beat your muse? Can you learn from this? And maybe along the way, accomplish something historic. You're seeing history in front of you. When we talk about the innocent climb and building a team and breakthroughs and becoming a champion, those don't always have to happen over 5 years. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they happen overnight. But you're in the middle of that innocent climb, and they're being tested. They're being tested in a big way. Nothing has been easy all year. Why would this be? So the Mets aren't dead yet. And logic still says, and math still says, and cold hard analysis still says, they are done. Probabilistically, they can't come out of this. But don't tell them that. Don't tell the Magic that. Don't tell history that. And forget the Red Sox in 04. I mean, everyone's going to talk about that. Just look back to 1999 and that Mets team. Now, they didn't finish the job that the Red Sox did 5 years later, but boy, did they come close. And I'll tell you what, if Edwin Diaz was making those final three outs his instead of Benitez, I don't know, man. And I'm a Diaz critic because there's a lot of Benitez in Diaz and vice versa. But, man, Diaz, he goes back to the well. And he looked good last night, real good, especially that first inning. I worry about him. Can he go back-to-back six-out saves? I don't think so. I think the Manaea start, minimizing how many outs Diaz gets, is critically important. I think we're headed to a couple of classic ball games potentially. And I don't like to make predictions, but I do know this. So I'll put this out into the universe, like I said, because the Mets are putting it out there. The Mets intent on winning. I think the Mets could win. And I think the Mets expect to be in the World Series next week. I think the fans want to say that but are afraid. But say it out loud. The Mets have a chance to go to the World Series. They have a damn good chance of winning this. And they believe they're going to win this. And if they believe they're going to win it, then we should. I should, you should. So say it. The Mets are going to the World Series. They're going to find a way to get this done. But whatever happens, however the story ends, man, this season's always going to be remembered. And this is going to make it fun wrap around into 2025, where I think we're seeing the next great era. I'll leave you guys with that on this Saturday morning. Enjoy the day off. Take some time off. Get away from the sport. I think it's going to be a nice day in the New York area, so enjoy that. Maybe watch some scary movies for Halloween or whatever. Get out with kids. Get some work done around the house. Whatever you do on a Saturday. Get away from baseball. Don't worry about the Yankees. Because you got a lot of time. The game doesn't start until 8 o'clock. It's basically 8 o'clock Sunday when your weekend ends. You got a weekend for yourself. Baseball free for the most part. But come 8 o'clock Sunday night through Monday night through 6 and 7, it's going to be a gauntlet. It's going to be a gauntlet. It's going to aid you. But it's going to be a memorable we may be talking about forever. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this Saturday morning for this Game 5 reaction to the Talking Mets podcast, Game 5 of the NLCS, Mets-Dodgers. You can check me out all the time at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. Give me an X at TalkingMetsNG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G. Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG, and don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks of the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy your Saturday. Buckle up. Game 6, Sunday night. We'll be there. We'll be there with the Twitter Spaces. Me, Anthony Rivera, Subway DeShea. Till then, take care, everybody.